Well, good morning again, everyone. It's good to be here. As I was trying to come up with a subject matter for the sermon today, I had to do a little thinking and turn on the Wayback Machine. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, in any game that we want to be involved in, and I don't care if we're talking baseball, football, golf, whatever the case may be, any game that we want to be involved in, we want an equal chance of winning that game. Because otherwise, the game wouldn't be any fun. We just want to have an equal chance of winning that game. Because the way it works is that we want the rules of the game spelled out to us clearly at the beginning. Because there is nothing more irritating than to have someone in the middle of the game, and I can remember this as a kid, in the middle of the game saying, "Oh, I forgot to mention." You know, the games that we play as kids, whether it's a board game, say like Clue or Sorry or something, and you maybe are playing it for the very first time, you don't know the rules. And this guy is teaching you the rules, or supposedly teaching you the rules, and he says, "Oh, I forgot, you know, you can't jump me, or I can't do this, or you can't do that," and stuff. You know, they just forgot to mention it. You know, when even in our government that we have this day and age, we expect the rules of our society to be openly declared. Because I don't think there's anybody here that likes closed door meetings very well, where you're not involved in it. Whatever the case may be, higher uppers, their boss, whatever the case may be, goes into a room, shuts the door, and you don't know what's going on in that room. I don't think anybody likes it. I know I don't like it. And I can probably safely say that we definitely don't like being ticketed for something we didn't realize that was against the law. And while life is not a game, and matters of salvation are more important than any man-made law, we too are left to wonder, what happens to the man that has never heard the gospel? Does God condemn those who never had an opportunity to hear the truth? You know, with the help of AI, I got on my tablet the other day, and I was just curious about the population of this world. This is what it told me. It says, our world now contains 6 billion, that's with a B, 6 billion plus people. 6 billion. And when I stop and think about that, the possibility of some of those people, they will live and they will die without seeing a Bible or hearing the message, that's not a far stretch of the imagination. 6 billion people. There's going to be some people in this world that have never seen one of these or have never heard the gospel. You know, there are some people in this world today that some teach that the ignorant are saved. It's okay. You didn't know. It's okay. Don't worry about it type deal. Well, I did some more checking on this because I thought that's kind of an interesting topic. So I'm going to throw out a couple names here, and maybe some of you people in the audience have heard of these two gentlemen. They're both authors, and I had to do more AI research on these guys because I'd never heard of them before. But the first gentleman, his name is Josh McDaniel. I don't know if anybody's Josh McDowell. That's the first guy. The second guy is a guy by the name of Don Stewart. So I did some research. And these two gentlemen wrote a book called Answers to Tough Questions. Now, Josh McDaniel, got in my little post-it note here, while he was studying in college, He engaged in debates with Christians. And then he decided that he wanted to travel across to Europe to research historical evidence against Christianity. He was all ready to go against the Christians. He went to Europe to do more research on them. But a funny thing happened. He says the historical data that he found led him to convert to the faith. He couldn't find anything. He just tried it, couldn't find it, had him convert to the faith. Now, Don Stewart, on the other hand, he's best known for his extensive work in defending the Christian faith and teaching Bible prosperity prophecy. But in their book, once again, Answers to Tough Questions, this is what they said. And I want you to think about this a little bit. It says, although the scriptures explicitly teach that someone who has never heard of Jesus can be saved, we do believe that every person will have an opportunity to repent, and God will not exclude anyone because he or she happened to be born at the wrong place or the wrong time. I have a tough time with that. And the reason I'm saying I have a tough time, my reasoning is from the scriptures. You know, if this statement was true, that God will not exclude anyone simply because you don't know anything about the Bible, you don't know anything about the gospel. If this statement was true, then consider why Jesus gave the Great Commission that's in Matthew 28, starting at verse number 19. Everybody got a handout, right? Hand handed. Okay. So let's turn to there. This would be Matthew 28. And I'm going to start at verse number 19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Not some of the nations, it says all of the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Disciples were to be made of all nations, not just part of the nations, some of the nations, but all of the nations. And all nations were to be instructed in the teachings of Christ. You know, people who never heard the gospel are necessarily saved, then introducing the gospel to them puts their souls in jeopardy. You know, because they might hear the gospel and they might reject it after hearing it. Because teaching the gospel would cause some people to be lost. You know, hearing the gospel and rejecting it causes one to lose their hope of salvation. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and learn more about that. Hebrews 10 and verse number 26. Hebrews 10, verse 26. It reads, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. You know, because even if the gospel, if they decide to accept the gospel and later reject it, they're still lost. Let's still staying in Hebrews, though. Let's go back to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Beginning of verse number 4. Hebrews 6, verse number 4. It reads, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." You know, if they did respond to the gospel, then they were saved before hearing the gospel, and they continued to be saved after hearing the gospel, then the gospel made no effect on their salvation whatsoever. Now we need to stop and think a little bit this morning here. We need to consider why people are lost. Question: are they lost because of ignorance or because they have sinned against God? We understand that we know this in our society today. We understand that ignorance of a law doesn't nullify the law. A good example that I can think of, I want you to try to tell a police officer that you didn't know the speed limit and see how far that gets you when he pulls you over. Hopefully he'll never pull you over. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You know, I just running down the highway, and I know, you know, it probably is 55, 60 miles an hour because they just raised it the other day, and I'm running 75. Yeah, sorry. You know, just see how far that gets you when you try to explain that to him. Because if one must know the law before he can break the law, then there will be no such thing as sin of ignorance. Ignorance would imply there was no sin. You know, we all know that Jesus was killed by the Jews in ignorance, but it did not excuse their sin. Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 3. Acts 3, verse 17. It reads here, "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The Jews killed Jesus in ignorance, but it did not excuse their sin. You know, God even once overlooked the ignorance of the Gentiles, but now demands repentance. Still staying in Acts, this time let's go over to Acts 17. Beginning at verse number 30. Acts 17, beginning at verse 30. And it reads here, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." I want you to consider in Romans chapter 2 and verse 12. Let's take a look at that. I want you to consider something here. This is Romans, 2 and verse 12. It reads here, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law." And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. I want you to notice that those who sinned while under the law were judged by that law. Yet those who sin without the law, they also perish. Having or not having the law did not alter the outcome. It only altered the standard to which they were judged. You know, even without the law, people sin. You know, people are lost due to their sins. Because it causes, when you sin, it causes a breach between man and God. We all know that. I shouldn't have to tell you that. When you sin, it's a breach between man and God. Like it says in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59. Beginning at verse number 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." A breach between man and God. Not good. No, Paul in the book of Romans, and I think it was in Romans 1 and 2, they show that sin exists among the Gentiles and the Jews, both in Romans 1 and 2. Among those without the law of God and those with the law of God. Because without accepting God's remedy for sin, man, he remains condemned. He remains condemned. Another thing we need to consider, how people are saved. How people are saved. We can be saved from sin. Once again, we all know that. We can be saved from sin. What's it say in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18? It reads, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Sounds pretty simple to me. But I want you to notice in verse number 19, it reads, "If you consent and obey." To what must we consent, and to whom must we obey? To what must we consent, and whom must we obey? Now, we just got through taking part of the Lord's Supper. And each and every Sunday we do that. That's a memorial, that's a remembrance, because Christ died for our sins. It's in the Lord's Supper. And once again, everyone knows that. The bread, the body of Christ, the fruit of the vine, the blood of Christ, shed on that cross at Calvary so many years ago. Christ died for our sins. And it says that we are justified by the blood of Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse number 8. Romans 5, starting at verse number 8. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." We are justified by the blood of Christ. You know, every once in a while, on a Sunday, we sing the following song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only through Christ can a person reach heaven. There are people in this world today that don't agree with that. You know, he's a once saved, always saved person, and he's going to be like my nice Uncle Bill or whatever the case may be. He's just a nice guy. Yeah, I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to still get into heaven. That's no big deal. No. That's not the way it works. That is not the way it works, because only through Christ can a person reach heaven. Because there's no other path available. There's no other path available. And there's no other means of salvation than following the Lord's commandments. You know, question, if people could be saved without going through Christ, then why would God have sent him to die? We've heard stories, we've heard sermons from up here. Had the perfect life, but he sent his only begotten son down to earth, led a horrible death on that cross for the forgiveness of not just my sins, each and every one of us, for the forgiveness of sins. Because if salvation can be gained through ignorance, then it would have been best to leave the whole world in ignorance. You didn't have to do that. Let's just leave it the way it is. Dog eat dog, man after man. I don't care what happens to them. But it wasn't like that. It was not like that. Because only in Christ we have redemption. Still stating in the book of Romans, this time let's go back to just chapter 3, a couple chapters back. Only in Christ we have redemption. Christ, chapter 3, verse 24. It reads, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ we have eternal life. Eternal life. And eternity is a long time, folks. A long, long time. Only in Christ we have every spiritual blessing. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and verse number 3. Reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Only in Christ we have every spiritual blessing. We also have in Christ have forgiveness. We have forgiveness. Only in Christ we have salvation. What's it say in 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. It reads, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. We have salvation. Some people may say, Dennis, how do we get in Christ? How do we get in Christ? Let's go to Romans 6. Romans 6, starting at verse number 3. Romans 6, verse number 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. I have a question. What happens to those people that are outside of Christ? What happens to them? Let's see what it says in 2 Thessalonians. And this was part of my scripture reading this morning. This is 2 Thessalonians. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 8 and 9. Reads here that dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I want you to notice the classifications of people who will be destroyed. He talks about the disobedient. And he also talks about the ignorant. Ignorance does not save. And in closing this morning, God has promised salvation only through those who, as it's written in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that hear the message. Whereas written in John 3:16, believe on the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, it says, confess Christ. Luke 13, verse 3, they repent of their sins. Acts 2, 38, have been cleansed of their sin through baptism. And in Revelations chapter 2, verse 10, remain faithful always. That's my sermon for this morning, folks. And we never want to close out a service because without the opportunity for ones that are maybe being in our audience this morning that are not Christians and would become one, we have everything ready here for you. And don't delay. I mean, we can do this today so you can be part of the Christian family. Or if we have Christians that are in our audience today that have been having a tough week, tough time, whatever. The prayers of your fellow Christian brothers and sisters are here for you. So if there's anyone in the audience that needs guidance and help, we ask that you please come forward and we sing the song of invitation Brian has selected.